My name is Carrie. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my home group is the New Horizons Group in Beautiful Bend, Oregon, District 5 out of Oregon Area 56, 58. And I am really excited to be here for this talk. Like I get to talk quite a bit, and some of the topics are like, oh, okay. And this topic is amazing because what a better topic than our unity, Alcoholics Anonymous unity, right? The most cherished quality our society has. I mean, of course, I want to talk about that. And then you tell me that I have to use the literature. Oh, like Christmas, you know? So I'm gonna be talking a little bit about obviously, tradition one and our unity. And I'm going to use AA conference approved literature to reference everything that I'm going to be talking about. First, I just want to qualify. I already said I do have a home group. My sobriety date is March 25th, 2010. I do have a sponsor who has a sponsor, and I sponsor women who sponsor women. And I tell you those things because they're what keeps me right in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't like have a group that I lead, right? I am literally one among many in my home group. They are unimpressed by me. My votes sometimes do not get seconded, right? Like, and that's where my higher power wants me to be. And I sponsor women who sponsor women, and I have a sponsor who has a sponsor because I'm just one more link in the chain. You know, I'm no better than, no worse than. And again, that's where my higher power wants me, is right in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so with that, Dee, how long do I talk for?
To the top of the hour, you've got all kinds of literature time.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So I hope you guys don't get bored with me. If I have a whole hour to talk, I'm going to start with my favorite piece of literature, not just in AA, but in inside and outside of AA, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So that's the first piece of literature I'm going to go to. And the first time really that it talks about our unity, which is our first legacy, is on, well, it's in the foreword to the second edition, but I have a study edition, and so the page numbers are a little bit different. On mine, it's page number XV, but I'm just going to go ahead and count in from the first page of the foreword to the second edition so you guys can follow me. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth page in to the foreword to the second edition. So I'm going to start actually on the bottom of the page prior. So it says, our society then entered this fearsome and exciting adolescent period. The test that it faced was this: could these large numbers of erstwhile erratic alcoholics successfully meet and work together? Would there be quarrels over membership, leadership, and money? Would there be strivings for power and prestige? Would there be schisms which would split AA apart? Soon, AA was beset by the very problems on every side and in every group. But out of this frightening and at first disturbing experience, the conviction grew that AAs had to hang together or die separately. We had to unify. That's my highlight on this page. Our fellowship or pass off the scene. And this next paragraph, and I'm just going to read it real quickly because even though it's not specifically about tradition one is the why we need the traditions, right? It could be said, depending on who you ask, that it's the only tradition that we have. It's one side of the triangle. If you look at our triangle where it says unity, service, and recovery, unity is one entire side of the triangle. So traditions 2 through 12 are just very specific tools to help enable us to protect that unity, which is the why. So we had to unify. That's tradition one, our fellowship or pass off the scene. I'm going to read further. As we discovered the principles by which the individual could live, right, the 12 steps, So we had to evolve a set of principles which the AA groups and AA as a whole could survive and function effectively. Now, I want to point out what this doesn't say. This doesn't say, as we discovered the principles by which the alcoholic could live, right, our 12 steps, so we could evolve a set of principles with by which the AA groups, our businesses, our love life, and our relationships could survive. That's not why the traditions were written. And I want to make that very clear, because I have spoke at, you know, a workshop called Utilizing the 12 Traditions in Your Relationship. I have spoke at Utilizing the 12 Concepts in Raising Children. But neither one of those was at an AA event, nor did it use the AA name. And I would not speak at something that uses these principles with the AA name for anything other than what they were created for, which what they were created for, the traditions, was so that the AA groups and AA as a whole could survive and function effectively. They're not written for my relationship or my children. They're written for the AA groups and the AA as a whole. Any more than I would speak at an AA function called Utilizing the 12 Steps to Quit Smoking. We have a primary purpose here. And so I want to make it very clear that although these are spiritual principles, and hopefully we can practice them in all of our affairs, if I'm talking about utilizing these principles with anything other than AA groups and AA as a whole, I'm not talking about AA and it doesn't belong in an AA meeting. Okay, so it was thought that no alcoholic, man or woman, could be excluded from our society. What does that sound like? Well, that's tradition three, right? That our leaders might serve, but never govern. That's tradition two. So my notes say T3, and then they go down and they say T2. That our leaders might serve, but never govern. That's T2. That each group was to be autonomous. T4, right? And that there was to be no professional class of therapy, T8. There were to be no dues, no fees or dues. Our expenses were to be met by our own voluntary contributions, T7. There was to be the least possible organization, even in our service centers, T9. Our public relations were based on attraction rather than promotion. T11, it was decided that all members ought to be anonymous at the level of press, radio, TV, and films, and in no circumstances should we give endorsements, make alliances, T6, or enter into public controversy, T10. So that whole paragraph is kind of the sum of our 12 traditions wrapped up into a very early thought process behind them. So real quick, I'm going to put my big book down and I'm going to go and I'm going to grab my AA Comes of Age. And I'm going to go to where the traditions were introduced in AA Comes of Age. And the page is called Our Second Legacy. Because that's what we're talking about today is our second legacy. And I think it's 97, but let me check to make sure. Maybe 79. I'm dyslexic, so I do that a lot. 79. Okay. So we have our 12 steps, right? They're the base of the triangle. They're recovery. We need our 12 steps in order to recover. And I know for me, and I don't know about you, but I know just for me, I have some friends that when they take new prospects or sponsees or pigeons or whatever you call them through the 12 steps, they take them through the 12 traditions at the same time, you know, step one, tradition one, step two, tradition two. I'm not opposed to that. And I think it's a great idea. And if it works for them, that's wonderful. But I also can't forget where I came from and I can't forget my experience, which unfortunately or fortunately, because now it does serve me as a as a tool to teach, I guess, because these are principles that, you know, it says through the teaching and the practice, right? So I don't just practice these principles. I have to teach them too. And sometimes what I didn't do right, or what I've done wrong, or where I've gotten myself in trouble are my best teaching tools. And for me, I don't take people through this 12 traditions. I don't even attempt to do that until we're through the 12 steps, because my personal experience is that when I came to you, I was so selfish and self-centered that I didn't care about the traditions and I didn't care about AA as a whole. All I cared about was how I was going to quit drinking. And if I did look at the traditions, it was looking at them through the lens of what are my rights, you know? And although I'm so grateful that these traditions allow me just so many rights, right? In tradition one in the 12 and 12, it says no other fellowship on earth lavishes the individual members more rights, more individual rights than Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank God. But I wasn't interested in what I could contribute at that time. I was interested in any time I learned about a tradition, you know, I'd show up accidentally to a tradition study and I'd turn around and leave, but not before telling you why I was leaving and whose fault it was. And so that's how I came to you. And so for me to try to take my newcomers through the traditions before they have that spiritual experience as a result of the steps, which is where it happened for me, it would be hypocritical of me. So I don't push that. You know, I get a couple of those real service geeks that are just born that way. And when I start sponsoring them and I can tell, and then they start showing up to things that I do like this, you know, I don't discourage that. No, not for a second. But I also don't try and force it on them, because I know that that wouldn't have propelled me, or it would have propelled me. So for me, you know, I couldn't care about this stuff until I had that spiritual awakening as the result of the steps, because I didn't even know anybody else existed. You know, I couldn't see past my own nose. And once I got through the steps, I became a little bit less of an AA anarchist. And I began to wonder, wow, I want this thing here for my great grandkids and for the alcoholic not yet born. And what am I doing to contribute to that? And so this page means a lot to me. And I'm not going to read the whole page, but it's the first two paragraphs. So it's about a half a page, page 79 from AA Comes of Age. Today we are in, I'm sorry, just to preface this, this is Bill Wilson at the 1950 General Service Conference. So the very first conference where they adopted these traditions. We in AA are together, and we know we're going to stay together. We are at peace with each other and with the world around us. So many of our conflicts are resolved that our destiny seems secure. The problems of yesterday have produced the blessings of today. Ours is not the usual success story. Rather, it is the story of how, under God's grace, an unsuspected strength has arisen out of great weakness, of how under threats of disunity and collapse, worldwide unity and brotherhood have been forged. In the course of this experience, we have evolved a set of traditional principles by which we live and work together and relate ourselves as a fellowship to the world around us. These principles are called the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. They represent the distilled experience of our past, and we rely on them to carry us in unity through the challenges and the dangers which the future may bring. And the future is now. And every time I hear that "I am responsible" statement, I know what it's talking about. It's not talking about our primary purpose, which is when someone walks in the door of my home group, my primary purpose is to go over to them and welcome them, if I don't know them, to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, or welcome them home after a relapse, or welcome them to a town that maybe they've never been to, and maybe they're there on a funeral or a death in the family and they need some fellowship. And that's my primary purpose, to go and reach my hand out and say, welcome to the New Horizons group of Alcoholics Anonymous. Sit by me. Can I get you a cup of coffee? That's not what the responsibility statement speaks to. The responsibility statement, which was adopted in 1965 at our General Service Conference, that the theme that year was our great responsibility, speaks to that I'm responsible for making sure that this thing stays here for the alcoholic not yet born. So in the ages ahead, even the isolated and the incarcerated, when anyone anywhere reaches out for the hand of AA, it's going to be here. And I'm not going to be part of what brought AA down from within. I get to start learning about these principles, and I get to become a small part of the weaving of the protective mantle which covers AA as a whole. And for that, I am responsible. And that's what that responsibility statement really means. And just, you know, because I love fact checkers, so if anybody in the room wants to check my facts, you can read the last essay in the book, As Bill Sees It, and it's titled, I Am Responsible. So there's another piece of literature. Wow, I'm finding a whole bunch of literature to throw in at you guys. So that was from AA Comes of Age. And now I'm going to go to back to the big book real quick, and I'm going to go to page 17, because there's a hidden mathematical equation about our unity on page 17. And one of the things I love about the big book is all 12 of the traditions you can find in the first 164 pages of Alcoholics Anonymous 10 years before the traditions were ever even thought of. And if that's not divine inspiration, I don't know what is, right? So I'm going to go ahead and read a mathematical equation to you. So first, I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to show you how you can find this in the literature on page 17. So how do we get unity? Our common peril, which means our common danger, plus our common solution equals the cement that binds us in unity. So I'm going to read the bottom of that page. It says on page 17, I'm just going to read the whole page because this is a good page. So it starts out with my favorite promise in the entire book, because it comes right, page 17 comes right after Bill's story. And Bill's story is this tragic story about this hopeless, helpless, hope to die alcoholic that is never going to live, right? He's going to die from delirium tremens. And oh my God, he recovered. And now he's like a member of his society, and he can function, and he's growing usefully and joyfully whole. And it's like this miraculous story. And so the first page of 17 starts out, we of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill. Nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem, past tense. If that's not a message of hope, I don't know what is. And then it goes on to talk about our fellowship. And it says, we are average Americans. All sections of this country and many of its occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. We are people who would normally not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. We are like passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck, when camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy, tradition two, T2, pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. Unlike the feelings of the ship's passengers, however, our joy and escape from disaster do not subside as we go our individual ways. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element of the powerful cement which binds us. But that in itself would have never held us together as we are now joined. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to all who suffer from alcoholism. So did you guys hear that mathematical equation in there? Our common peril plus our common solution equals the powerful cement that binds us in unity. And so all of the traditions, whether it's tradition five, because obviously common peril and common solution is more of a tradition five reading, but all of the traditions, the only reason they're there is to solidify tradition one, is to bind us together in unity. And so tradition one is really super special, right? And this is where I'm going to go through, you know, in meetings at my home group, we don't read the long form of the traditions. That's just one of the things that we've decided, group autonomy, right? And I'll take you to what made us decide that. I'm going to take you back to, I think it was Robert, I think it was Bob who read it at the beginning of the meeting, but on appendix one in the back of your big book, it talks a little bit about why the traditions are so important. And I'm going to touch on that for if you guys have your highlighters or if you're taking notes or anything, I'm just going to touch on that reading that Bob read for us. So it's on in appendix one, it says, to those now in its fold, Alcoholics Anonymous has made the difference between misery and sobriety and often the difference between life and death. AA can, of course, mean just as much to uncounted alcoholics not yet reached. Therefore, no society of men and women have ever had a more urgent need. And I'm just going to look up the word urgent real quick. And it says urgent, a state or situation requiring immediate action or attention. It's funny that they use the word urgent while talking about the traditions. We have so urgent need for continuous effectiveness and permanent unity. We alcoholics see that we must work together and hang together, else most of us will finally die alone. The 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous are, we AAs believe, the best answers that our experience has yet given to those, again, ever urgent questions. How can AA best function and how can AA best stay whole and so survive? And you see how D has a box around that reading. Those are the first three paragraphs. And at my home group, we every day, instead of reading the short form, we read those first three paragraphs, right? So the intro to the traditions, and then we read the tradition of the month in its long form. So every month we're hearing a different tradition in its long form. And I want to take you back to that first page again, D, if you want to put that up again, with the first three paragraphs. That one paragraph below those first three, even though we don't read that in the meeting, that's why we read what we do read. So I'm going to read that one. Usually we don't, but I'm going to read that because it has some explanatory, it has some answers in it. So on the next page, AA's 12 traditions are seen in their so-called short form. And I love Bill's sarcasm there. I just love the sarcasm in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, because that's how I say the so-called short form too, right? Because I don't know about you, but if you heard that saying that if your only understanding of the 12 traditions is from what you've read off the wall, then you have an off the wall understanding of the traditions. Well, that was true for me. That was definitely true for me. So in their so-called short form, the form in general use today, this is a condensed version of the original long form, AA's traditions as first printed in 1946, because the long form is more explicit and of possible historic value, it is also reproduced. So what does explicit mean? They're saying that the long form is explicit. I looked up the word explicit, and it says stated clearly and in detail, leaving no room for confusion or doubt. And I don't know about you, but for me, when I was new coming in, listening to those short form read, they didn't sound very clear or in detail, and they left a lot of room for confusion and doubt. And so that's just my experience. It might not be yours. You might read the short form and understand 100% of what all the traditions mean and what they were written for. It's just not my experience. So that's why we read the long form, just one tradition a day at my home group in its long form. And so I'm gonna tell you, when we do read the let's say a regular AA meeting, your average AA meeting, you'll see these two window shades, right? And in my home group, we have three. We have the concepts window shade two. But in most AA meetings, you'll see the 12 steps in their short form and the 12 traditions in their short form. And so if you've heard the 12 steps before, you know that step 12 includes the word principles in it, right? It says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps, we try to practice these principles, or we try to carry the message and practice these principles in all of our affairs. What principles? What principles is that 12th step talking about? Well, the 11 that we just read, right? Steps 1 through 11. Because we had just read steps 1 through 11, then step 12 comes and it's talking about these principles, steps 1 through 11. So no different than with the step 12. So let's go over, or traditions 12. Let's go over to the traditions window shade. Let's put far out of our mind the steps, and let's just focus on this brand new set of principles. It's an entirely different set of principles. And let's look at tradition 12. So we're reading tradition 1, which is our common welfare comes first, right? And that's the one that we're on. That's the one, that's the why. And then we go through all 12 traditions. And finally, we get down to tradition 12. And it says, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions. And a little hint, anonymity, the definition of anonymity in AA, and you can find it in the 12 traditions illustrated under tradition 12, all the way in the back, it's written on the wall. There's a picture of, I think, GSO, and the definition of AA's anonymity is written on the wall. It looks like that. And the definition of anonymity is sacrificing personal ambition for the common good. So let's replace that, right? So in tradition 12, it says anonymity, sacrificing personal ambition for the common good, is the spiritual principle of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. What principles? These ones that we just read, traditions 1 through 12, has nothing to do with the steps. It has nothing to do with, you know, I thought for a long time in meetings when people would chant, you know, we'd read the short form, and then everybody at the end of the meeting would chant principles before personalities. And I used to think that that meant that, oh, well, now that I'm through the steps and I have these principles, thanks, Dee, sacrificing personal ambition for the common good. That's the definition of anonymity. So now I got scattered. Dee, can you take it off? I can't talk and look at it at the same time. Sorry. So now I'm thinking, when I'm chanting principles before personalities, and I can't believe that I'm the only one who was thinking this. I was thinking that now that I am, you know, a member in good standing of AA and I've been through the steps, then I have to put those principles, because I'm so principled, before your terrible personality, before the, you, oh, God bless you, right? Like, bless your heart. They don't have a program, or they're not where I am yet. They don't practice these principles like I do. And I was thinking it was referring to the 12 steps, but that's not humility. And what it actually means is I have to put those principles of the 12 traditions, because this is a whole new set of principles I have to practice, before my personality. before my personal opinion of you, before my personal ambitions and desires for money, property, prestige, popularity, all to be liked, self-centered, fear, all of those things. I have to put the principles of the 12 traditions before my personality. And those are the personalities that it's talking about. It's not talking about your guys' terrible personalities. It's talking about our personalities. And so that was eye-opening for me, right? When I got into the literature and I started reading about what that actually meant. And I had such a misconception. So I'm going to stay with, because I already opened up this book, the 12 Traditions Illustrated. So that's the one I'm going to go to next. And I love that on the cover of this, when it's talking about the traditions, it says, so as newcomers, many of us say to ourselves, let the group officers worry about the traditions. I'm just an average member. There are rules for running a group, aren't they? And everybody tells me that there are no rules in AA. Then we look closer and we find that the traditions are not rules. And they're not just for officers. They have a deep meaning for each one of us, just as the 12 steps do. So like the steps, the traditions were not figured out in advance as courses of action against future problems. The action came first. Pioneer AA groups with nothing to go on except for the trial and error and try again method soon discovered, well, that didn't work, but the other one did. And this one works even better. Let's stop there. Thank God. Could you imagine? I mean, could you see our forefounders and those trailblazers that didn't have any of these guardrails, right? They didn't have the traditions, because the traditions, I like to think of them as street signs, as like, you know, guardrails, street signs, stop signs, you know, the yellow sign that says, hey, there's a huge curve in the road coming up, you might want to slow down. That wasn't always there. We only created that sign because enough people ran off the road right there, right? Like enough people did it wrong to where we finally said, okay, I think we're going to put up a warning sign that there's a curve in the road, right? And that's what the traditions were. And could you imagine how easy it would have been for these trailblazers to have the F everything and run mentality instead of the face everything and recover mentality, if they were like, oh my God, I can't believe we did that. Let's never talk about that again. Let's sweep it under the rug. How embarrassing, right? But no, these recovered alcoholics, they were thinking of me and you today. You know, 80 years ago, they were thinking of the alcoholic not yet born. They were thinking of me, and they want this thing here for me. And so what they did was, instead of sweeping it under the rug, they said, okay, we're going to inventory this. We're going to admit where we were wrong. And then we're not going to just stop at 6 and 7. We're going to take it to 8 and 9, and we're going to clean up the wreckage. And then we're going to practice and publish. We're going to write about it and publish it in these 12 traditions and in this literature, so that in the ages ahead, future alcoholics and future members of Alcoholics Anonymous don't have to continue making the same mistakes that we've already made. Thank God that they had the humility and they cared enough to do that for us. That's what the traditions came from. So moving on, both successes and failures were reported in letters to AA's headquarters. Eventually, it became the General Service Office. In went these shared experiences of AA's first 10 years, which the first 10 years of Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill sometimes called the flying blind period, right? Or the adolescent period. And I always see, whenever it says flying blind period, I always see like an airplane trying to fly without the radar, or without, you know, knowing where the, I'm not a pilot, the air roads are, whatever, you know, not knowing if another plane is coming straight at them or
airways. Whatever. How about airways?
Airways. Okay. And so I like that flying blind period that Bill talks about. In went the shared experiences of AA's first 10 years, and out came the 12 traditions. So basically, the 12 traditions were our 10 biggest mistakes we made in the first decade of our existence, right? That we actually wrote down and published. In 1946, then in their long form, they were published in the AA Grapevine. By 1950, they had been condensed to their present form and were adopted by AA's first international convention. Our traditions are a guide to better ways of working and living, co-founder Bill W. said, and they are to the group survival what AA's 12 steps are to each member's sobriety and peace of mind. Most individuals cannot recover unless there is a group. The group must survive, or the individual will not. So in a sense, and I have a friend who likes to say that the traditions today are more important to him than even the steps. And at first I heard that, and I kind of got a weird feeling, like almost like, you know, blasphemy or something, right? Because it's the 12 steps. Like, but then when you think about it, you know, if I don't practice the 12 steps, I might drink. Alcohol might return, the insanity of alcohol will return, and I will drink again. That's what the big book promises. But if we practice the traditions, there's going to be somewhere for me to come back to if I'm lucky enough to come back. If there are no traditions, then it don't matter. The steps don't matter, because there's nowhere for me to come and learn about the steps. There's nowhere for me to come and recover. So in a sense, I understand what he means today when he says the traditions are actually more important than the steps. The Washingtonians, they didn't have the traditions. And that fellowship grew. The Washingtonians, in the first 2 years that the Washingtonians were in existence, they grew as a society bigger than AA was in the first 10 years. And that was about 100 years before AA. So, you know, they didn't have the radios and the, you know, books and stuff like that. They had even less means and necessity as far as like carrying the message. And they grew 10 times faster and 10 times bigger than AA. But because they didn't have the traditions, within 2 years after that, they were all drunk. And so that's an eye-opening, those are eye-opening numbers for me, you know. So let's talk about the first tradition in practical sense, right? Like, how do I practically apply this at my home group? I'm newcomer. What are you talking about? Saving AA for the alcoholic not yet born. Like, what can I do? Right? So let's talk about tradition one in its most practical sense. Okay. So let's just go to the short form. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. So I have to learn how to put AA unity before myself. Really difficult to do before you've been through the steps. I get it. I didn't want to put AA unity before myself, and I didn't put AA unity before myself. And that's, again, why, you know, once you go through the steps, you might be a little bit more interested in this stuff. But it was difficult for me to learn to put AA, to put anything before myself. But then it was more difficult for me to learn that I even have to put AA before you, because along with being an alcoholic, I have some outside issues and I have some codependency problems. And I was the girl who for 18 months in AA meetings, I would start every share with, if you're new or nearly new, you are the most important person in the room. That's not true. My sponsor let me say that for 18 months before she finally pulled me aside and notified me that that's the exact opposite of what our literature says. And our literature says there's no second class citizens, and we're a fellowship of equals, and no one member is more important than the next. And that whether you have 24 hours or 24 years, We're all equal. And I didn't know that what I was saying when I was telling people that they were the most important person in the room was that I was going to the exact opposite of our unity and tradition one. And so, you know, the first paragraph in tradition one in the 12 and 12, I'm just going to read it because it paints it a really great illustration. It says, "Our brother, the noisy drunk, affords the simplest illustration of this tradition. If he insists on disrupting the meeting, we invite him to leave." But he's the most important person in the room. How are you going to invite a drunk to leave an AA meeting? Like, that's terrible, right? But it goes on to say, "And we bring him back when he's in better shape to hear the message. We're putting the common welfare first. But it is in his welfare, too. If he's ever going to get sober, the group must go on functioning ready for him." And it took me a long time to understand that principle. It really did. One mistake I made when I first started sponsoring, this is a really easy illustration of tradition one. When I first started sponsoring a lot of women, you know, my home group, we used to meet 6 days a week. And so we would have six different chair people with a 6 month commitment to run the meeting that day, right? So a chairperson makes the commitment for 6 months to show up every Tuesday or every Monday or whatever day that they got elected into service. And their job is to unlock the door, to hand out readings, to make sure, you know, that newcomers are welcomed and to do all that, right? To run the meeting. And there was a sobriety requirement of 6 months. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be great? Because service keeps you sober, don't you know? It doesn't. But back then, that's what I thought. And so I thought, service keeps you sober. Wouldn't it be great if all of my newer sponsees could chair meetings? But they have to wait till they're 6 months, which makes no sense. So I fought tooth and nail at the business meetings to get that sobriety requirement lowered from 6 months to 3 months. And eventually I was successful because I'm determined and I'm persistent, and nobody wanted to listen to me anymore. And they kind of just gave in. And what happened was, when you're electing a 3 month sober person into that kind of service position, it might be what's best for them. It might buy them 6 months of sobriety. But is it affecting the rest of the group negatively when the 3 month sober person doesn't show up or loses the key or shows up drunk and falls off the chair in front of everyone in the middle of the meeting? True story. I mean, so what I was doing was I was putting the welfare of the individual, of my sponsee, before the welfare of the group. And how good is it for the rest of the newcomers in the group when they see that the person who's chairing the meeting is drunk or doesn't know, you know, how to follow a script or doesn't know anything about the traditions? So they're asking non-alcoholics to lead the meeting. They're calling on people who are, you know, just there for the church or whatever the case may be. And all the while, I was putting the welfare of the group in jeopardy because I wanted to put my sponsee's welfare first. And so what tradition one requires is we have to put the welfare of the group before any one individual, before me, before you, before the old timer who, oh my God, I don't want to interrupt the old timer after their 3 minute share when I'm the timer, because they're going to hate me and they have 150 years of sobriety and all this self-centered fear. No, I have to put the welfare of the group even before them, and then even before the newcomer. Before me, before you, before the old timer, and before the newcomer. The welfare of the group comes first. So, K, Can I back that up with literature? Absolutely. Let's get my brand new newest highlight that I just discovered. And I'm discovering more and more highlights that I love in this AA group pamphlet all the time. Let's see if I can remember where my newest highlight is. Let's see. Would it be under the AA home group? No. No. It's such a good highlight. But I do need to get my highlighter out and highlight it so that I can find it. I shared it with some of you guys all over Facebook. Does anybody remember what it is? My latest find? Ah, nope, this isn't it either. Now it talks about, hold on, is there a difference? Oh, well, here's a good tradition one highlight. It's not the one I was looking for, but here's a good one. On page 10 of the AA group pamphlet, the final responsibility and the ultimate authority, this is concept one, but it goes along with tradition one, for AA world service should always reside in the collective conscience of our whole fellowship. So what our fellowship says comes before what any one individual says. So I like that. Oh, page 20? Is that what I just, page 20? Maybe. Yeah, it is. It's page 20. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start the paragraph on the bottom of page 19. So these service positions may have titles, but titles in AA are not do not bring authority or honor. They describe services and responsibilities. Okay, here it is. And it has generally been found that giving members service positions solely to help them stay sober does not work. Who knew? Instead, the group's welfare is of primary concern in choosing its officers. At election time, a review of tradition one and two can be helpful. So I appreciate that. I wish I would have read it before, trying to get a bunch of brand new people in service who don't know the traditions, who don't know how to stay sober yet, who lose the keys, and then the rest of the group has to pay for it.